Julie, could you tell me a little bit about what your background is, what it is that you're doing at the university?
Yes, so as a professor in social work, I'm particularly interested in how social workers can be better prepared to respond to natural disasters. And this is a growing area of concern in our profession. So through research and teaching as well as service, I'm actively involved in looking at the broad field of disaster social work.
You have some funding right now from Alberta Innovates Health Solutions to actually develop a program around that, and more specifically focused on children and how they cope with disasters. What would be the genesis of that focus?
So a number of us here in Alberta and also in British Columbia came together to submit a proposal for what we call the Alberta Resilient Communities Project. And this project aims to better understand some of the factors that contribute to resiliency among children and youth, as well as to empower them and the adults and community service providers in their lives to think about how we can build resilience in this population group.
What do you mean by resilience?
Well, there are a lot of different understandings of resilience. And for us in our project, our understanding of resilience acknowledges that everyone is vulnerable to different adverse events or circumstances, but recognizes that some people might be more vulnerable than others. We think it's important to take a life cycle approach, so recognizing that people face different issues in different stages of their lives. So this is important for children and youth in particular. We also acknowledge some of the structural vulnerabilities that people face through their position in society. Factors such as gender, ethnicity, race, or social status can also contribute to vulnerabilities in different ways. And so our understanding of resilience acknowledges not just the individual, but the community and collective role in thinking about how people access resources in the community through services and programs, and how these kinds of resources can foster resilience within individuals, but also in the larger community. So this is what we call a social ecological approach to understanding resilience.
Are you looking at disasters that are maybe community-wide, or does it run the gamut from big disasters to individual things that might happen in a family that would have an effect?
Well, in this specific ARC project, we're particularly interested in the experiences of children and youth and their families in the post-flood context in southern Alberta. And so this project brings together academic researchers as well as a number of partners who have been working in Calgary and in High River and in some of the smaller foothills communities, delivering services and programs to children and youth and their families since the flood took place in June 2013.
What are some of the things that you've noticed after that flood in terms of how children have reacted or what their response has been that would lead you to want to actually have a project like this? So were you finding that there were really severe effects?
Yes, there have been. And I would say at the same time, it's been an under-researched area. There hasn't been a lot of work done that focuses specifically on the experiences of children and youth in post-disaster contexts. And as far as we know, this is really one of the first interdisciplinary collaborative research initiatives that are bringing together key community partners with researchers to really look at what is it that children and youth have experienced, and also to ask them from their perspectives how they might contribute to preparedness in the future. Our understanding of resilience also acknowledges that while children and youth might experience certain kinds of risks or vulnerabilities, they're also remarkably resilient and have great capacity. And so we're really interested in learning from them about how they can actively contribute to their own ongoing recovery and to that in their communities in some new interesting ways.
Can you give me some specific examples of how or where there was trauma?
Well, I think one of the things that we're particularly interested in is looking to see how we can create spaces for children and youth and the community service providers who play really very important roles in the recovery of these kinds of events, to think about how new spaces can be created that will allow them to have a say and have some greater influence in some of the preparedness and resilience building strategies that are now, of course, you know, requiring more attention. And so really it's about thinking through the processes, how to involve diverse groups, their participation, and being able to have a say in the kinds of decisions that affect them, and what this means for policy, not just in the field of emergency management or disaster management, but even more broadly than that, how that impacts the delivery of health services, how that affects children and youth's mental health and well-being, and how this can also influence some of the key roles that social service and community agencies play in trying to better meet the needs in the future.
Well, if I think back to the flood and the news at the time, the kids' school was flooded out. And so here they'd been planning for their high school graduation. And that would certainly be an event that if you're missing it, you know, they had to make some accommodations around that. And then, of course, going back to school in the fall, there was no school to go to, if I remember rightly.
We are interested in learning about what are some of the factors that do contribute to resilience, and hearing really from children and youth about their experiences, their stories, and how they make sense of some of the changes that they saw take place in their lives. The way that we're going about this is because our vision of resilience includes the community, we have three different research streams that we're focusing on. The first is what we're calling key community influencers, which is looking at how community influencers or social service and community agencies can best enhance the resilience of children and youth in their communities. And this will engage us in a process to identify some of the capacities and gaps in current programming and services where support is provided to children and youth who are affected by the flood. The second research stream is focused on youth, and so looking at the lives of youth through a variety of very participatory and action-oriented research approaches. This stream acknowledges that youth are positioned as active social actors and experts in their own lives. And in this process, youth will be actively engaged in contributing to community resilience by being involved in a number of activities. Some of them are media-based, and so they'll be working directly with the academic researchers and community-based researchers to inform them about what their needs are and what they would like to see. This will be conducted through a social innovation lab process that Dr. Robin Cox of Royal Roads University is actively involved with. And the third research stream is focused on child research. And Dr. Carolyn McDonald Harker of Mount Royal University is leading this stream, which aims to look at the perspectives of school-aged children and a parent or family member or caregiver in the lives of those children who is involved. We know that disasters affect children's health and well-being in many ways. Sometimes this can result in increased anxiety or behavioral issues. Sometimes this can affect school performance. And so this research stream is really looking to better understand the experiences of children in the post-flood context. Again, thinking about a child-centered approach to resilience and recovery.
What stage are you at right now in the project?
So we're in the early stages of the project. It's actually next week our entire research team that also involves 29 partners is coming together for a meeting in Calgary to officially launch the project and begin to create and share some of the work of the advisories that are just getting underway.
And how long will it last?
This project has been funded for 3 years by Alberta Innovates Health Solutions CREO research grant.
You're just at the beginning stages of this project. When you get to the end of it, what's going to happen to your results?
Well, we've chosen to integrate what we call our knowledge mobilization strategy throughout the 3 years of the project. And so this will allow us to continually engage with our partners and community members about the process of the research as it unfolds in Calgary and in High River and the surrounding foothills communities. And so for us, we're planning to develop a website where we hope to be able to share information and fact sheets and short synthesis of the results as the project unfolds. We're also interested in creating a network from the Alberta Resilient Communities Project that will bring together researchers, practitioners, government officials, and community partners to be able to continue to share information, to create opportunities for professional development, and to really have an impact on practice and in policy in this area. Our collaborative research program is designed to also support the development of students throughout the project, and so we are going to involve undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral, as well as postdoctoral students in all phases of the work. So there really is a very strong training and mentorship component that's really incorporated throughout this 3-year project.
Well, it sounds like you really have your work cut out for you.
Yes, well, we're very excited about our meeting next week and getting everyone together face-to-face in the same room to really begin to talk about our collaborative project and the partnerships moving ahead.
Thank you very much, Julie.
Well, thank you very much.